This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
Addition to the Chiefs defensive lineman, they got help in the offseason by drafting this kid, Ashton Gelati, here with us on the show. Ashton, let's get down to it, man. What's it like to join the team like Kansas City, a team that's been successful, has been known to be a champion, and what was that like getting drafted all on the same day by the Kansas City Chiefs?
Obviously, it's just a great blessing. It's something that, again, dreamed of and worked for since I was a kid, and obviously, to hear my name called was something special, but also to be called by the team that I was kind of left me speechless. And, you know, again, just very grateful to be a part of the culture and be a part of this team, and just looking for my way that I can, you know, contribute.
You said you were speechless when you got the call and it was the Kansas City Chiefs. Why did that one in particular leave you speechless? Did you not know Kansas City may be in the mix?
No, so, yeah, I mean, they kind of, like, underplayed me a little bit. Like, they were, like, trying to, like, talk to me a little bit, but, like, not a lot. So I didn't really know if I was going to get picked by them. And, obviously, you're just sitting on the couch, like, you know, I was going in the third round. I'm like, I don't even know if I'll get picked today, or we'll see how it goes. And, obviously, they called me, and I was like, oh, snap.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just because, like, all the tension of just waiting, you know what I'm saying? And again, Ted, the team that called me was this.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Amazing.
You know what? I think the cool part about that is the story that kind of circulated after the pick, Ashton, and Brett Veach, I guess, was, you know, picking there at number 66, and, you know, teams are starting to try to trade up a little bit, and there were some trade rumors out there. The teams were trying to trade up to get you, and as soon as you were selected by the Chiefs, a couple of other teams said, we're not going to worry about trading up now because that was the guy we wanted. Not only do you get picked by the Super Bowl champs, which we'll still call the Chiefs, the best team in the NFL, not only do you get picked by them, but you had other teams that wanted to trade up for you. That's got to be like a feather in your cap. You got to feel pretty good about that too.
It feels good, but again, at the end of the day, I'm trying not to think about that. I'm just trying to get in here and work. So again, thankful that the Chiefs took me, and, you know, just ready to get to work for them.
No doubt about it. So interesting here. You'll be on the same defensive line as Chris Jones. Has there been any conversation yet with him? I know you have a history with George Karlaftis. Maybe you kind of give us a little bit of insight on that, and then like what the expectations maybe for you are joining the defensive line with those two guys on it.
No, obviously Chris Jones is a legend, and I don't want to like over jump the hand or anything. So I just want to get in there and work, see what I can learn from him. But obviously, I feel like that's a phenomenal person to learn from. Just how many years he has and how dominant he's been for his career. So that's kind of what it is for that. But George, I mean, we had the same college coach, so it just kind of worked out. It was really funny how it works out. And you know, going into my sophomore year, my coach came to Louisville because he was part of the staff. And George was just so happening to use Louisville for like off-season training, and my coach was like, "Yo, well, I got a former player here. He's on the Chiefs, and I think you'd like him. I think he'd be able to help a little bit, give you a little wisdom." And that's kind of how that relationship formed, which is like me either going in to watch how he worked or watching film or stuff like that with him. So obviously being on the same team. Just furthers that connection. So,
Ashton, I would imagine, and maybe I'm imagining wrong, and maybe I'm just nuts, but like you're sitting there and you're having these conversations with George Karlaftis, you probably have to look at him and say, "Hey, man, what's like the biggest difference from going from college where we were having a lot of success to the NFL where we're young and we're new and we don't know anything?" Did he talk to you about what some of the biggest adjustments are going to be that you have to make just as a person to have the success in the NFL that you had in college?
Well, there's a... If you're talking about football or you're talking about life?
I'm talking about both, man. I'd rather talk about life, quite honestly. So if he's got some good life nuggets for you, great. If he's got some football ones too.
Yeah, I think for life, it's just like learning how to, again, distance yourself from people and say no. And that's obviously a hard thing to do, especially when like you want to be able to give back or be kind to people. Just learning how to say no. Get in your schedule, get in your routine, making sure you have a plan of what you want to do, what you need to do, and then getting in that routine. Because obviously, as an adult, I mean, college is really strict regimented, and NFL is a little bit, but they give you obviously a little bit more freedom to decide because you're a professional. You're supposed to be able to conduct your own schedule. So your treatment, your massages, all that stuff, like you need to be able to figure that what works for you and plan that with the people who are in the building. So I think just really maximizing the opportunity and using the resources there is going to be the biggest thing. And obviously getting that playbook, that's, again, the biggest thing, especially same thing in college, like the biggest thing that stops you from playing is your knowledge. So if I can get in the playbook and apply to the scheme and get behind what Spags and Coach Collins are teaching me, and the faster I can get on that on board with that, the faster I can have an impact other than special teams, you know what I'm saying?
Okay. So it's kind of interesting, Ashton, there is, you know, being a college kid for the last, you know, few years or so, and to think that Patrick Mahomes is going to be 30 years old this year. I know it's wild. It makes me feel really old. When you when you're in college and all of a sudden, you know, you, I don't know if you're a video game guy or, you know, you obviously follow the sport of football and you see Mahomes do these crazy things, man, now you're going to wear the same jersey as him. Is that kind of like a huge, like I'm here, I've arrived. Like, I know it's not an ego thing. I'm not trying to say that, but it's more so like, that's the dude that like I played with on Madden, or that's the dude that makes those stupid throws that I watch on highlights. And now he's my teammate.
No, again, it makes it very, as a defender, it makes you very relaxed when you have someone like that, someone of that caliber across the ball. And obviously, it allows defenses to play free and feel free to take chances and stuff like that. But it's kind of surreal. It's not like I've made it, because I don't think I've made it yet. You know, obviously, I feel like we still got to work, and I still got to be able to put out something before I can say I've made it, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I think just to be, again, on a team with like someone like Pat Mahomes, like, that's just crazy. Because, I mean, obviously you look at them a lot and you're like, okay. But you kind of forget that they're just, like, they're people. So it's going to be a little different probably seeing them at work, you know?
Yeah, no kidding. Is there something, Ashton Gelati, that you'd like to ask Patrick Mahomes or maybe even it's Travis Kelce or, heck, maybe even Andy Reid? You're like, I've been watching you guys win all these Super Bowls and do this kind of stuff. Is there something you're like, man, I got to ask Patrick Mahomes or Andy Reid or Travis Kelce this?
I feel like it's just the process. Like, what's the process and, like, how do they have so much longevity? Like, and I mean, you can get that from George, too, but, like, it's just how have you built, like, your historic career and, like, what was your foundation? What are your principles, like, that helped get you there? I feel like that's the biggest thing that I would probably ask.
Yeah, I think that's good because you might as well ask the best, right? I mean, Mahomes is the best that's ever lived. Andy Reid's the best that ever lived. Travis is the best that's ever lived, you know?
Yeah.
All right, so looking at your childhood growing up, did you have an idol on the football field? Is there somebody you're like, that's the guy that I want to be?
I was a big fan of Ray Lewis growing up just because, I don't know, something about it. And he was also from Florida. I'm not born in Florida, but I was raised in Florida. But something about it, like, I was just like, man, I want to be a linebacker. Like, and it's weird because now I'm playing DN, and it's more of what I would have wanted. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of people you look up to. It's just, yeah, sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. So we talk about Kansas City. You said you can talk about life, talk about football. What do you know or like about Kansas City, like the culture of it? Obviously, the barbecue, you know, mecca of the world. You've got the jazz museums, the Negro Leagues baseball museum. Like, is there anything that you're really pining to try in Kansas City now that you might be here for some time?
Obviously, since I got the call, I've gotten plenty of recommendations for barbecue spots. So I haven't even been able to try it yet. So hopefully, I can get in there, try some good barbecue. But I just really want to just kind of embrace the city for what it is and just be able to be in it and, you know, obviously see those little things, see a Royals game, all that kind of stuff. So I don't know. I'm just kind of waiting.
Yeah. Well, hey, man, we appreciate the time. Best of luck in your young NFL career. Congratulations on being selected by the Chiefs and welcome to Kansas City, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
And that was Ashton Gelati. Ashton Gelati out of Louisville, defensive lineman. Says Chris Jones is a legend. We got to dive into that a little bit later on. But coming up on the other side, there is a possible trade partner. We've talked about him already. Plus, we get into one word on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Vinny Pasquantino, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
A lot of people like that kid out of Louisville on the text line. A lot
How
of
could
people
you
like
not, right? I had a fun conversation with him, I thought, yesterday. Did you think it was fun, too?
I thought it was good.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting to find out some of the kind of the wherewithals and the behind-the-scenes stuff of some of these guys and,
so
you know, what they want
to
do.
Game?
Yeah, wants to go to a Royals game. Well, who doesn't? Well, except some people on the text line, I'm sure, don't have any interest in going because they only won 10-0 yesterday, not 11-0.
Chris Jones is a legend?
Chris Jones, he did call a legend. We'll get into that as the morning rolls along. I don't think he's far off from really saying that Chris Jones is a legend. And so, I mean, he's been one of the best defensive players that we've seen, you know, in this era, obviously the best defensive player we've had in this era.
Yeah, we'll have your guy, Justin Reed, join the show. We'll ask him that exact same question.
Yeah.
Chris Jones is a legend. Yes or no? Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Tell us why. Somebody says, this dude's going to be good, man. They hit on all his shoulders. It is ridiculously good. Sure. Yeah. I mean, strength of the defensive line, man. Welcome to Spags country.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to NFL country now. That's kind of this offseason was the rebirth of the running back, right? Mm-hmm. The rebirth of the running back was this offseason.
It's today.
Mm-hmm. And we're also going to have the rebirth now of the defensive line, because that's what Philadelphia did to beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, right? Allegedly, they didn't really run the football. People don't really recall. I know we got our doors blown off and our ass kicked that day. Saquon Barkley didn't do much in that Super Bowl, right? Saquon Barkley was pretty much shut down in that Super Bowl. The Chiefs did a great job of shutting him down. Forgot about everybody else, but they did a great job of shutting down Saquon Barkley in that game. And so that's why you see, you know, teams kind of copying each other. You get the running backs, you get the defensive line. Who knows what it'll be next year? You want to guess what it's going to be next year? Because nobody would have guessed running back going into last season that position was going to see a renaissance. Oh, quarterback is going to see a renaissance?
Yep.
Well, I mean, we kind of already had it, though, with Sam D'Arnold or whatever his name is over there in Minnesota. And, you know, you got Kirk. Well, that's a bad example. But you know, so you had Arnold and Sam, whatever his name is. Yeah, and Sam Donald. I'll be back against you.
In Seattle.
So, yeah, I don't know what position is going to have that renaissance this year, but it'll be cool to see what kind of develops over the course of the NFL season and where everybody's scrambling in March to kind of backfill to whatever happened in the Super Bowl this year.
I think there's an obvious yes to this question to the text line. If DCs could get into the Hall of Fame, do you think Spags first ballot?
He's arguably the greatest defensive coordinator of all time. Bill Belichick will say, hold my beer on this one and want to have a conversation. But Steve Spagnuolo has won multiple Super Bowls with different teams, shut down Tom Brady a couple of times. So I do think Steve Spagnuolo is the greatest defensive coordinator of all time. They have a contributor side to the NFL Hall of Fame or the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and maybe he can get in that way, but I don't know if that we've ever seen random assistant coaches put in with like the TV executives or whoever else are in that side of the Hall of Fame. But you know, Spags, man, this guy, once he leaves, let's see what happens with this defense, right? I think it's going to be crazy to see a defense without Steve Spagnuolo here, but he's not going to be around forever either.
Do you think they all go out together?
I don't know. I was just going to ask the same question to you. What do you think they do?
I think Andy and Spags go out together.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, I think they go out as like a duo.
Okay.
I don't think they're that far in age.
No, they're not. I think Spags is like a year younger than Andy or something like that.
Obviously, they can do it as long as they damn well please. I think they have the pass to do that. But I'm interested to know, like, because I don't know if like one would go. I mean, obviously, Andy got here, you know, years before Spags got here. But it'd be interesting to see if they continue to do this or if they, you know, go out together, and let's say they win two more in the next 5 years, and they look at each other in the mirror, and they're like, or each other face to face, and they're like, it's time.
Yeah.
Like, we got five. We've been to seven. Like, I don't know what more we can do, Andy.
The interesting thing with Andy Reid, and I'm going to speak for Andy not knowing his feelings on this because I feel like I'm capable of
Dave
doing Tobe that.
Dave Tobe is a text line, says another one that would go out with
Dave
him.
May go out as well, too. Yeah, Dave, I think would be fun to have around town just being Dave Tobe.
Because
right?
I think with Andy, it's going to take like a group effort to get him out. Like, I think Andy would just be like, dude, I'll come out here in a wheelchair and coach the 11. Well,
and that's kind of where I'm going. And that's the feeling that I have with him because of the unfulfilledness that he had in Philadelphia, right? He had a really good career in Philadelphia. His career didn't take off till he came to Kansas City. And so you're making up for, you know, those years in Philadelphia that you didn't get to the, you know, to the top of the mountain, and everybody said, oh, you're a good coach, bud. And now he's here in Kansas City and he's got Patrick Mahomes and the cheat code to the NFL right now working, you know, full blast. Why would you want to walk away from that? Because Andy Reid, while he's 66 years old or whatever it is, which isn't old, everybody's seemingly wanting to push him out the door, and Pete Carroll's coming back like 10 years older than Andy, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Bill Belichick sitting around on a college campus with a hole in his T-shirt.
He's got one hell of a PR staff.
He really does have a hell of a. But so Andy, I think, is like now finally in that wheelhouse of his career. Like, he's in the sweet spot of that career. Why would you want to walk away from that?
Especially as the longer you coach Mahomes, he's going to get to the point where it's just like, yeah, whatever Pat wants to do, well, you know, if he needs me, I'm here. But if not, like, you know, and that's what the Texans said, as long as Pat's here,
right,
Andy's not retiring. I mean, I agree.
Now, I don't necessarily buy that because Patrick's 30. What if he plays till he's 42 years old like Tom Brady did? You're talking another 12 years. Andy would be 66, 76, 78 years old. You think Andy?
78.
Yeah, well, he's pretty close. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Andy doesn't want to do that. Who knows? I don't know. But I think if Patrick Mahomes never came along and they didn't have this run of success, I think we'd already been moved on from Andy. I think Andy probably would have retired already had Patrick Mahomes not been drafted and kind of given him a rebirth
as well. I mean, I think Andy's had the Philadelphia career. Then he had the beginnings of the Kansas City career, which was a rebirth from Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And then the second part, this Mahomes thing, is a rebirth from the first part of the Kansas City career. And so, like, he really is in the renaissance of his career right now. He's in the high point, the top part of his career. You don't want to walk away at this point in time. I mean, and at least that's the way I think. And if I'm Andy Reid, he just signed that 5-year contract last year. So you're thinking he's got at least 4 more years to go of doing this. Will Spags be around that entire time? Hell if I know.
No doubt. You went down a rabbit hole for baseball trades.
I did, and I don't kind of remember how I got there. I think we were kind of, I was looking at bats.
Or, rabbit holes.
Yeah, like I just don't know what it was.
Stay but
it
off
was like,
Reddit. You'll be there for 4 hours.
Could have been, yeah. But I don't Reddit much at all. I try to stay away from that because you get lost in those things. Do you ever get the answer that you want on Reddit?
Most times.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay, because every time I go there, it's like, all right, you're giving me links to like.
I also get more than I bargained for.
Oh, yeah, at times. You definitely do. But so I never really feel fulfilled going on Reddit, right? So I usually try to stay away from there. But I was down in a rabbit hole about the Cubs and somehow got onto a story that they need bullpen up. I think they gave up their closer the other night, midweek, gave up like 8 runs in the 9th inning or something like that. And I said, oh God, the Cubs closer. This guy stinks. So I did some research on this guy, whoever he was, and then started to find all these stories like that they've been writing since basically spring training that the Cubs bullpen is an epic disaster right now. And I'm thinking to myself, boy, we've got a lot of good bullpen pieces here in Kansas City, and the Cubs got 3 outfielders that can go out there and absolutely rake and hit, and any one of them that would be acquired today would be the best outfielder on the Kansas City Royals. And you're talking about PCA, P. Crow Armstrong, who you mentioned, Suzuki, and Ian Happ are the 3 outfielders that they have all, as of 2 days ago, were hitting like 275 or better, and Kyle Tucker as well. On the Cubs, they've got an excess of outfielders. That's the type of move that I think you should look at if you're the Kansas City Royals. Deal from your strength to a weakness that the Cubs have, where their strength is a weakness that you have. And I think that's how teams ultimately should try to match up. I think they do, but this wouldn't be a we're unloading players because they're on a contract year and we don't want to pay them anymore and we need to get something in return so our owner keeps us employed for another year in the front office like a lot of organizations do. This would be a legitimate, hey, you guys are good and we're good. You guys have an extra outfielder. We got some extra bullpen arms. Maybe there's a deal to be had. Maybe there's a deal to be done where the Royals can go ahead and trade one of their relievers. Maybe it's Estevez, maybe it's Urseg, whoever the case may be, to get one of these outfielders back in return, and you help each other out. And I'm not saying it's a one-for-one swap or anything like that, obviously, but that would be kind of the parameters of the deal. The things that people would talk about would be like PCA for Estevez or Kyle Tucker for Urseg or something like that, and both teams get better, and that feels like a really good baseball trade.
Well, I will say, not to like ruin your parade, Chicago's not letting anybody get P. Crow Armstrong.
No, I understand that.
Kyle Tucker's going to get probably a huge contract from the Cubs in the offseason. But I also, from the Royals perspective, I don't want to get rid of Urseg or Estevez. I think that's like what if this team does do a deep run in the playoffs, it's going to come down to those two guys. But there's a guy like Steven Cruz.
Yeah.
Right? 0 ERA, a whip of 7, hasn't given up a run, strikes out 7 out of 10. I mean, I guess his strikeout per 9 is like 6 per 9. Cruz is a guy that you'd be like, hey, this guy's pretty good. He's in abundance in our rotation, in our bullpen. You package him with like a Daniel Lynch. Mm-hmm. You're creating a hole in a bullpen that's been pretty well patched up no matter what the scenario is, whether it's, hey, stop the bleeding, do this. You keep Urseg and Estevez. Like, you keep those two guys. That's your like Herrera, or that's like your Davis Holland. That's like, that's your 8-9 guys, or that, not your 8-9 guys. That's your 9 guy in Estevez, and then that's your, you know, your stopper. Per se for Lucas Urseg, but who could also be a all-star as well. I think his ERA is like below 7.7.
Right.
But like, yeah, you look at teams that need bullpen arms. Like, you think about last year, the Royals need a bullpen arm and they got Lucas Urseg. Nobody at the trade deadline was really like blowing out the water Lucas Urseg's name, because if that was the case, he wouldn't be in Kansas City, if you get what I'm saying. Like, they're not going to get the cream of the crop when it comes to the free agency. They're going to have to get guys that, you know, they find that analytically work for them. They found Urseg, it worked. They signed Estevez in the offseason. It's been great, right? But they fell into the lap of this Steven Cruz kid. Daniel Lynch has had a revival of a career in the bullpen. He's a left-hander with a great, you know, mindset in that sort of role. you could put those two guys together and you could find a decent bat. You could find anybody better than Hunter Renfro. But again, he's not really playing anymore. I thought the stat yesterday, there were 17 hits for the Royals. He went 0-4.
Yeah,
it's right. Like, that's damn, dude, that's tough.
That's pretty
bad.
Tough,
dude.
So, well, Bobby had a couple of them. Okay. Thanks, Hunter.
You're right. So I think that now, is it Chicago? I don't know. But when you look at pieces, there's one of two options. There's a team that is either like there, but they have a severe wound in their roster, whether it's leadoff hitter, whether it's starting pitcher, whether it's a closer, whatever it may be. Those tend to be the three most popular spots at the trade deadline. Or there's the teams that are completely just rubbish, like the Rockies or the White Sox. They're like, hey,
speaking of the Pope's team that way.
Yeah, right. So like they'll get rid of those guys. But like if you have guys that are, you know, not really proven, but they've done enough, like a Cruz, that's a guy that you could shop and you could go get like a utility guy that could be maybe a Michael Garcia,
right?
Like you had an Aroldis Chapman, you got a guy who maybe the Texas Rangers gave up on and Cole Reagans, cause he had two Tommy John surgeries. Like, look, if it works out, it works out. Congratulations. Thanks, Dayton. And you know, never forget. But like, that's the thing is like, you got that for a guy that you were never going to keep. Cruz is a guy that has been great. He's been fine. Yesterday was good too. 0.7 ERA. That guy could be a piece you could move that maybe not a lot of people are connected to, because you say names like, you know, Drew Waters. And people are like, no, Drew Waters, I like him. He's been a good addition. You're in love with Drew Waters because you like his story and he's in Kansas City and he's working out for your team.
Right.
But imagine what you could get for somebody that, you know, maybe like a Cruz that like, you know, you don't really know a whole lot yet, but the league sees his numbers and says, that could be our guy.
Yeah,
let's go get that guy.
And that's why I throw out like some of the bigger names, because I think this type of trade to get that outfield bat still needs to be one of those. I use the term a wow trade, like where you know the people who are being traded for, right? It's not like the casual baseball fan would go, oh, they got Pete Crow Armstrong. Again, example, right? They know who that player is. They know who an Ian Happ. They know a Kyle Tucker. You know, they know the names of those players. That's the type of trade that I do believe that the Royals need to make in this situation to get themselves better. And I'm not afraid of dealing from the bullpen, Dusty, because there's one thing that we can say, whether it's Dayton or JJ, they know how to build bullpens in Kansas City. They know how to build bullpens. And so if you have to take one of your bullpen pieces that's really, really good to deal them to get a good bat in return, go ahead and deal that and find another bullpen arm. This organization has been great about doing that. And you've got that Kyle Wright guy still down in Omaha that they thought could kind of be part of the ball club this year. Mm-hmm. And maybe he's a guy that kind of comes up. And then don't forget, when you get into the postseason as well, you're essentially just using three starters. Maybe you move one of your starters to a bullpen role, you know, in the postseason, because that's what we have to start planning for right now.
Waka.
Yeah. You know, whoever the case may be, right? Like who would you say are your best three right now? You're going Bubich, you're going Reagans, you're going Lugo, right? Those are your best three starters. So you could move Lorenzen eventually in the postseason to the bullpen. You could potentially move Waka to the bullpen or use him as that fourth starter if you were to need them in a kind of a rare situation, if there weren't enough, you know, off days that kind of matched up and whatnot. So there's options out there for this team, but I trust them to build a bullpen. And so if they have good bullpen pieces and they have to deal from them, they'll find some more good bullpen pieces elsewhere. Nobody knew who Lucas Ursegg was 365 days ago.
Well, the A's knew who he was.
Did they? Because they got what we give up for him. Does anybody even remember at this point?
I will say that you got to be also cautious with your bullpen, because we did see the unfortunate news yesterday that Harvey had a setback in a throwing session. So that's not great.
Right.
But it is.
But again, he's a baseball player. A setback could be, you know, his fingers, you know, a little sore today or something.
Well, they do get those blisters and those are annoying.
Yeah.
Let's get into one word.
One word.
First name is Blake and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
We just heard from Chiefs rookie defensive end Ashton Gelati. One word on that guy.
I'm combining two words into one for this one. Future star.
Oh,
all right.
I'm going with future star, baby. That's
high
my new
praise,
word.
Mate.
Love it.
I would say hopeful. Seems like he's, you know, in the right place at the right time, knows what he's ready for. Loved how he's like, yeah, man. He's like, grew up watching Patrick Mahomes. Now you're here. And it's like, makes it a lot easier being on the defensive side with that guy on my team. It's like, hell yeah, dude. So I'm hopeful for that kid, man. Like, you know, again, we watched the draft. I knew Josh Simmons. I didn't know anybody else's names. I'm going to be honest.
Nobody did except Binkley and Unocero. 10.
Define future star for me, Bob.
A guy that you like. Chris Jones is a star. I'm not going to say he's going to be to that level, but somebody that you have to account for. Like, he's one of those guys. He's a circle guy when you go in there on Monday and they present the game plan. All right, we got to look at number whatever he's going to wear this year. I don't know what it is. Sorry. I'm sure somebody's already got a jersey. But whatever number he wears, 90, whatever, we got to make sure we know where this guy is all the time. That type of player.
Someone else who used to be that in the prime of his career has since dwindled into the twilight years was released yesterday from the Panthers. Jadeveon Clowney. One word on Jadeveon Clowney.
Done. Like, he's had a hell of a career, but sometimes it just is over. It's done.
How many teams have you played for? Six?
Everybody. Yes.
I mean, we could do it, right? I mean,
Ravens, Panthers, Texans.
Did he play for Tennessee? Had to have, right?
Yeah, he did. I actually think he did play for Tennessee.
That's
yes.
Four.
He did.
And I'm still, what we know him for is?
Hitting that guy's helmet on New Year's
Day.
South Carolina.
I was going to say college.
Michigan, South Carolina game. Popped off his helmet, grabbed the football, did the army crawl, and then got tackled.
My neighbor was telling me the other day.
Cleveland.
He went to Appalachian State. He goes, I was at that Appalachian State Michigan game. I was like, that's one of those, like, the coolest games you could have ever been to, right? How cool would it have been to be in the big house? You're an Appalachian State fan. You know you're getting your doors, and you win.
And you're like, what?
And you got paid.
We got paid.
And you got paid. Yeah, that's what Gottlieb's hoping for when he goes to KU next year to play that game.
Oh. Jadeveon Clowney. Jadeveon Clowney.
5.5 sacks last year in 14 games.
It's not a bad number.
On the Panthers defense, that's pretty good.
I would say flyer. I mean, why not, Brett? You've done this before. Go check him out.
He's usually a guy you add in November, though. You know, that type of guy, like Amena who goes down.
He can't be worse than Joshua Uche.
God. Boy, that was, is he still on the team or did they
say he's gone? Team? Yeah.
I mean,
that
was a really bad trade, or maybe he just, like, they misread that situation.
Yeah, that was bizarre. That was bizarre. He came here in a
one word.
Keep making moves like that. Brett Veachtown going away, Brett.
Exactly.
I'm going to tell you something right now. You keep making these Joshua Uche trades.
He makes like three more in a row just to get rid of the song.
Stop playing the song. No, yes would be my word. All in on Clowney. Would love that for us.
Yeah.
Need depth. One word on the Royals weekend coming up.
Moving day. And what I mean by that
got him in the NBA and golf in one week.
Yeah.
What are we doing, Mac?
you have an opportunity to. I'm not into the NBA. I didn't watch a second of that thing last night.
That's fair.
But you have an opportunity to beat a team that is perceived to be a legitimate baseball team in the Boston Red Sox, even though they're about a 500 baseball team. I don't know if they played yesterday or whatever happened, but they were 500 going into yesterday. But perception-wise, it's the Red Sox. So you go out there and you sweep the Boston Red Sox. Even the negativist of Nancy's, the most negative Nancy's will be buying in if they beat the Red Sox.
Bunch of naysayers. Proof. I think, unfortunately, you got to go out there and win 2 out of 3 to prove it.
I think you're right.
From what we know, from what we've seen, from what we've heard, I don't need them to go win 2 out of 3. I would love that. But, man, they win 2 out of 3 against Boston, and you're going to get Crochet and Reagan's on Saturday? I mean,
that game may not have a run scored in it.
Reagan's on Saturday, Lugo on Sunday, Lorenzen tonight. So,
Red Sox best chances tonight.
And Lorenzen, he's angry after his last start. He threw his glove at a 99-mile-an-hour spin rate.
Oh, he was crushing cans on his biceps,
exactly.
Pop cans.
One word on Celtics-Knicks Game 3 will be on Bob's patio tomorrow, and hopefully I will be in one piece.
Must win. For both teams. I was thinking about it driving in today. God, if the Knicks lose and they're only up to 2-1, ugh.
No, I get
2-0 is a fallacy, brother.
The more I thought about it, the more I agree with Chuck and Shaq. I still disagree, but because I don't like must win, but I get what they're saying.
I'm excited. No dog in the fight, and I could be live between the two fan bases. Just antagonize you guys while I sip Surfsides, wearing a Knicks Enforcer shirt.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Not going.
Okay.
I got hot dogs coming in from New York.
And pickles.
And pickles.
I'm going to make my famous guacamole.
Oh, look at
Let's go.
Michael guacamole on Saturday.
I like that.
Awesome. One word on Antonio Brown, he just got his driver's license his NASCAR competition license.
Mm-hmm.
He would like to become a NASCAR driver.
One word on that?
Yeah.
Needed.
Yes.
NASCAR's in a bad place, man. Nobody cares about it. The sport is dead. I was listening to Mike Joy, who is the voice of NASCAR, a couple of weeks ago, talking about how nobody that's young is watching the sport anymore. And I know it's at Kansas Speedway this weekend, but it's a dead sport right now. They need juice. They need to be revitalized. And how do you do that? I hate to break it to the hardcore sports fan. You got a Savannah banana this thing up. Mm. And if Antonio Brown's going to go there and get people to watch and pay attention to a sport that nobody's really paying attention to right now, you've got to embrace that if you're NASCAR. So needed is the word.
Hmm. Could care less. I don't. Yeah. Anything that involves Antonio Brown, I go the other way.
Fair.
I have no interest in that.
That guy's nuts.
No, he's insane.
But he's going to get eyeballs and talk and people discussing the sport that's been, you know, really since the 08 financial crisis, which, you know, people still think, you know, oh my God, it's like, oh no, it's not 08. But that's when NASCAR went downhill. Gas went up to $4 a gallon, and they couldn't really afford to fill the cars. A lot of sponsorships went away. People stopped going, and they've never recovered. Like, baseball's recovered from their missteps. Basketball has. Hockey has. Football has. NASCAR's never been able to really recover.
Somebody says stage format killed NASCAR.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either. I need an explanation.
Yeah, I know negative about NASCAR.
You know negative?
Less than negative about NASCAR. Honestly. And that's Ryan, too, man.
Don't really care to change it.
What are the drivers? Is Dale Gribble? Is that one of the top drivers on the circuit? Right? That's all I would know. Like, Dale Gribble, I think he runs the Penske car or something. I don't know.
Hey, man, don't be talking about myself like that. You want to deal with me, take me out back. Dale, shut up.
Do they have a boom hour out there, too?
Oh, man, you know what you're talking about?
Who's the guy in NASCAR right now? Like, back in the day, you had, like, number 24, Gordon.
Like, Earnhardt? Like, I honestly don't
know. Earnhardt?
Dude, I don't know.
The father has passed away, and I think Junior's retired.
Junior's retired,
like, Clint Bowyer's not even racing anymore,
well,
really,
I'll tell
right?
you what. Got someone coming up here in a couple hours to tell you what about NASCAR.
Bigley, he'll tell you about NASCAR.
There's juice all over the place.
Oh, there was this morning. Boy. It was like in a white substance. We do the Out of Left Field question every Friday at 7:45. I want to ask this because we're at that time of year where I think these start to pile up. What's the biggest mundane task you hate to do the most? 913-586-7965.
No questions.
Yeah. What's the biggest mundane task you hate to do the most? 913-586-7965. You are listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Tune on a Friday. It looks beautiful outside.
I know. I think all the rain has finally moved away. When you're driving with the windows open, you can smell those flowers now. Spring is officially here. The rain has dissipated.
I gotta do the old mowing of the lawn today.
I told you, man. Aspen came out yesterday, did my yard, and then all the old guys came out and immediately did theirs. And Jen comes in, laughs. She goes, "Oh my God, they're so jealous. They're out here doing it." Because usually one old guy goes and does his yard, and all the other old guys zombie out and do their yard. Mine got done yesterday, and they all poured out of the houses yesterday and did the lawn. It's like clockwork. It's awesome.
That's awesome.
It's like the South Park episode where he gets testicular cancer and he's like, huh?
Yes.
Bob's out there and is like, wheelbarrow, bow, 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 bow.
It's a great episode.
Women love them. Love them. That's the music, Green Onions. You know it, Booker T. That means the out of left field question comes rolling into your airwaves. And this one today, fellas and ladies, everyone out there listening, if you're watching on the stream, we appreciate you. Maloney, get it on. Question today. Since we're kind of getting into the, I think now we can say we're full blown spring.
Yeah, it's May. Right? Yeah. Like Cinco de Mayo's in the past. The patio's been open.
There ain't a better feeling in the world than the patio right now.
Oh, I mean, tell you, the mosquito dome went up yesterday too, so you're not gonna have to worry about bugs tomorrow either.
Ooh. Got some dome yesterday at the house. So
I just want to win, Jen.
No doubt. So I ask, what is the most mundane task you hate to do the
most? Unloading the dishwasher.
Really?
Oh, okay.
So do you do that, or is it
who else is going to do that?
Well, I ask because sometimes you know where things are, so you like to put them away in your own spot.
No, I don't like doing it. I hate it. I hate unloading the dishwasher. Hate it with a passion.
I mean, I think the number one pick in this is laundry.
Yeah, I don't mind laundry.
Easy.
Doesn't bother me at all. I don't mind doing the laundry.
No issue putting in the washer and the dryer.
Yeah.
Hear that dryer buzz. You're like, I'll get it tomorrow. Then you come home the next day after the show and you're like, I'll take a nap first. And then it's Thursday and that hamper's still sitting there with all those clothes. Now they're all wrinkly.
Now you're talking like my children. They'll do their laundry and it'll stay in there for days. Like, what are we doing here?
No, Hannah's the same way with it. I'm like, yo, you're just like living out of this hamper. It's also in the dryer, like half and half. Like, we got to just get it. Come on. It's time for me to do my laundry.
Putting it away. I understand that. Yeah. But no, for me, it's unloading the dishwasher. I absolutely loathe it. I hate it. Oh my God.
I don't mind it because I have a system. Top rack, cocktail glasses, bottom rack. You know, top rack is all my plastic because that's what they tell me to do.
They tell you to do.
Yeah, right, all the spatulas and handles are up top. I'm OCD as F, so all the little containers, forks are here, spoons are here, knives are here, steak knives are here.
They each have their own compartment.
Uh-huh. So then when I take the little compartment out, I just grab all the forks, put them in the fork spot. Yeah, take all the spoons out, put them in the spoon spot. I'm crazy.
No, that makes sense, though. In a good way. No, that makes sense.
Yeah, then, I see, like, it's
that cuts out, like, because there's
other
words.
There's a method to your madness.
There's forks, spoons, and knives all in one section. You're like, here's three of these, but those are here.
It's a fork attached to a spoon.
That's the way ours is. I'm lucky I can get people to put anything in the dishwasher, let alone help me unload the dishwasher. I hate it. Ugh.
Somebody says breaking down cardboard.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
That's a guy thing, though, and I'm being serious about this. Women don't break down cardboard boxes.
It's true. Stuff in the trash, throw it. Yeah, it's so true.
Right. Guys, I'll go out in the garage with a box cutter and sit there, and I will cut those boxes up and break them down. The Amazon boxes just pile up. Nobody breaks down the boxes in my house. I got to take them all out there, break them down, stack them in the garbage can.
We're discovering that every mundane task is solely Bob's responsibility in the household.
You think two teenage girls are going to do anything?
For the right price.
That's true.
Oh, yeah, price. You need free rent, free cars, free...
free rent.
Somebody says, most mundane task I hate, turning down the radio when Cody sings.
Fair.
Next one is washing pots and pans by hand. My wife says they can't go in the dishwasher because the special coating on them will come off. When I know damn well if I were a bachelor, I'd throw them things in the dishwasher.
See, I would never do that. Knives and pots and pans do not go in the dishwasher. And if people put them in at my house, I lose my mind because they ruin the knives in the dishwasher.
Mowing the lawn, the worst. Whoa. I love mowing the lawn.
Yeah, I never minded mowing the lawn. Like, that's never been I always like mowing the lawn.
Everyone thinks I start the mower in the garage because when the door opens, a bunch of smoke comes out and I start mowing and I have no care in the world. Laundry is cake work. Doing dishes by hand can take a long drop with the fastest stop.
Okay. I feel like there's gratification with at least dishwasher and like mowing the lawn for sure.
Mowing the lawn,
best.
It looks good.
Oh, it's the best. But like laundry, I don't get that gratification.
Somebody says
I don't think there's gratification in that at all. But I don't mind it
because mowing the lawn in your house is the vacuum.
Yeah,
you get those stripes on the carpet. And you're like hell yeah. And in 24 hours they're gone.
They're gone. You need to do it again.
I hate clipping my toenails.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. That is a mundane task. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. You do that at like 2 a.m. used to love breaking down boxes till I moved in with my girlfriend and found the entire room dedicated to boxes need to be broken down. I hate breaking down boxes now, and don't get me started on styrofoam.
Oh, the styrofoam stuff is everywhere.
Picking up dog poop in the backyard, a mundane task they hate doing?
I don't necessarily care for that. I'm outside just kind of walking around. I throw it in a bag, and then on Thursdays when the garbage man, or Friday when the garbage man comes, I toss it in the garbage, and they take it.
Yep.
Yeah, somebody says...
My wife had a brilliant idea when we first got the dog. We'll just put all the poop in a bucket. Okay. You know how bad that bucket stunk?
Poop bucket.
Somebody says, I don't mind mowing the lawn, but God, I hate weed eating. I'm not a huge fan of that.
Yeah.
You gotta just tap it on the ground to get the string back out.
Yep. You think you're done, too, mowing, and then you got to weed eat.
Weed eat, exactly.
And then it never hits the part of the grass you want it to hit, you know, and you're standing there.
Yeah, I don't know. Mundane task you don't look forward to that you actually really hate doing. Laundry just, I don't know.
because you got to put all the shirts, then you got to put all the pants, then you got to put your stuff that goes in the dresser. Stuff then you got to hang everything up. Yep. Then you got to put it all together. I'm just a complainer. My entire family, because my wife, can take their clothes off right side out, so I loathe laundry. Edging. I mean, I know that's got a different terminology these days, but so does raw dogging. But edging a lawn where you make it look nice. Easy, Mac. I hate hedging and trimming. Hanging Christmas lights. Dusting. Dusting sucks.
Oh, man, I don't know if I've ever dusted.
Okay.
I'm trying to think, honestly. I don't have like a... I mean, I guess I have. I don't have a duster.
Have you done edging?
Oh, yeah. I edged last week.
Nice. Somebody says paying the bills.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
That's a fun... It's like, all right, just got paid. Rent, cell phone, insurance, and you have $12, and it's gone.
Yep.
Oh, man. Coming up in a little bit, we'll get with Justin Reed. He'll join the show, former safety of the Kansas City Chiefs, not the New Orleans Saints. But coming up, Ashton Gelati said something that I think is very, well, it's a legendary topic that we can have on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Matt Quatrero, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.